Yud Shvat, the 10th of the month of Shvat, is a special day on the Jewish calendar in the modern Jewish era. It's the day on which the 6th Rebbe of Lubavitch, the Friedrich Rebbe, passed away in 1950, and the 7th Rebbe of Lubavitch, Rebbe Menachem Mendel Schneerson, became Rebbe. On a yahrzeit, on the anniversary of someone's passing, it's relevant to discuss what is it that made that person significant, what is that made that person unique. So, in a sicha from Tafshin Yodalid, from the year 1954, the Rebbe discusses what made the Friedrich Rebbe so unique, and this is going to give us a unique perspective on how it is that the Chabad Rebbeim addressed Kiruv, how they addressed dealing with Jews who are not now religious, or who are not so close to Yiddishkeit, or not so close to Judaism. And we'll see that this approach to Kiruv is particularly unique, and perhaps even controversial. So this is the Sicha on Likutei Sichos Chelek Aleph. It's the first Sicha for Yud Shvat, and it's Sif Yud Beis in Parshas Bo, on page 132. If you want to follow along inside, we're going to study the Sicha in Yiddish and explain it. The Sicha begins. Bechlal zayin al rabbeim, Nesim Yisrael. Generally speaking, all of the Rebbes, who were all the leaders of the Jewish people, Beis, Chak Much Admar, Viad Bechlal, until the Friedrich Rebbe, until the 6th Rebbe Lubavitch, including him as well. Ein Zach. All these Jewish leaders were all one thing. They were all reflecting the same core idea. And all Jewish leaders affected all things. Not that some of the great leaders of the Jewish people only excelled in one area. No, they channeled all areas of perfection, all areas of goodness in all areas of Jewish leadership, be it in terms of dealing with the call, dealing with the community, be it in terms of Aved Satzila, be it in terms of Liman HaTorah, teaching Torah. A true Jewish leader must, by definition, be involved in all areas of Jewish life, not just in one area of Jewish life. It's insufficient to just be a big Talmud Chacham, saying to have learned a lot of Zeroyim, and now, since you know a lot of Zeroyim, that's going to make it such that you're a great Jewish leader. No, a great Jewish leader must excel in all areas of Jewish life and must be concerned with all areas of Jewish life, be it Limud Torah, be it Tefillah, and be it matters of social importance to the Jewish community at large. So there I was asserting that the true Jewish leaders, up to and including the 6th Rebbe of Lubavitch, had all of these characteristics of great Jewish leadership. And we can understand this based on the general phrase that a Jewish leader is somebody who fills the place of his forefathers, as they're filled on the makam and al the prophet, meaning to say that he fills the place in all of its details. Fantastic, and nonetheless, every rabbi had his own unique quality, which he was passionate about. And through that particular detail, through that particular thing that he was passionate about, that was the channel, that was the path through which he also executed all the other things that he needed to get done. Like the Alter Rebbe explains in the fourth section of Tanya called the Geras HaKodesh, in the seventh chapter, the Maamar Hazal, the teaching of Chazal, Avuch B'may Zaretzvei. There, the Gemara and Shabbos has a discussion where one Amir asks another, what was your father most stringent about? And as in what mitzvah was he most passionate about? As Chachar, Mekayim Given, Ala Mitzvahs, even though it's the case that he fulfilled all the mitzvahs, from this day, not the Gehathis, but Tziel and Inyan. Nonetheless, he had a particular mitzvah which he was especially passionate about. Was there in Inyan Zershar from Zayn Neshama? That particular idea, that particular mitzvah he was passionate about, is the pathway, it's the portal by which his neshama expresses itself, by which his neshama is able to most intensely impact the world. And through that portal, through that pathway, all of his Torah and mitzvahs would ascend. On the stein, mit dem was Chak Mochad me declared in the Sichas, the Chalukim, and the Rebbeim, the Inyan Asfiris. This idea that each Jewish leader, on the one hand, has all of the qualities that a Jewish leader must have, meaning that he's engaged in Torah, Tefillah, communal leadership on the one hand, but on the other hand, has a particular feature which he is most passionate about, which typifies him most strongly. This fits very well, it accords very well with the idea that the Friedrich Rebbe taught, that the 6th Rebbe taught, that the various Rebbeim and Hasidus, the various leaders of Chabad, all corresponded to different ones of the spheres. There's an idea within Teres HaKabbalah and Teres HaChabad that there are 10 spheres. In a certain sense, there are 11, but Sefer Yetzirah tells us that we can only count 10. So there are 10 spheres. And so this tells us, and Kabbalah tells us, that everybody's neshama most strongly expresses one of the spheres. So for example, you have some people who are neshamas of Netzach, and those people are more instinctive people, and they're people who are very much about getting things done. They're the people who will be big businessmen, who will have big Shabbos meals, and the people who will take down any opposition which stands in their way. Or alternatively, you'll have a neshama of Gvura, a neshama of literally intensity or strength. And such a neshama is somebody who is in a state of great spiritual elevation. These people might be very artistic, they might be very passionate, they might be creators of music, tremendous idealists. But the point is that there are different spheres, and different people express different spheres. And their neshama is channeled by that sphere. But nonetheless, every person contains all 10 spheres. Every person contains all 10 of these psychological qualities. It's just that one of them is emphasized more than the other. So just as this is true of all people, so too the Rebbe is telling us, this is true of the Friedrich Rebbe, this is true of the Sixth Rebbe, and this is true of all the Rebbeim, that the various Rebbeim of Chabad, the various leaders of Hasidus, all channeled a particular sphere. So returning to the text, declared this coheres with that which the Sixth Rebbe taught in the Sichus, in his talks, in his public lectures, the Chalukim and the Rebbeim bin Nasirs, about the difference amongst the Rebbeim, the difference amongst the leaders of the Chabad and Chassidus in general, that those could be made consistent with the 10 Sirus, as we just explained. As the Baal Shem Tev and their Magid Zayin and Kesser, the Baal Shem Tev and the Magid symbolized, or they flowed from Kesser, and Kesser refers to the Sphira, which constitutes the human subconscious, but the human subconscious itself subdivides into many parts, so presumably the Baal Shem Tev would be one part of the subconscious, and the Magid would be another, but the Rebbe doesn't really spell out which parts of Kesser the Baal Shem Tev and the Magid would correspond to. The Alter Rebbe corresponded to Chachma, the first intellective sphere, which symbolizes intuition. The Mittler Rebbe Bina, the Mittler Rebbe, the second Rebbe of Chabad, symbolizes the sphere of Bina, or flowed from the sphere of Bina, which is analysis. And if you look at the Torah of the Alter Rebbe in contrast to that of the Mittler Rebbe, all the Yesodos, all the foundational principles of Teres Chabad are contained within the teachings of the Alter Rebbe. But very often, those teachings are more cryptic and not as deeply spelled out. But if you look at the Torah of the Mittler Rebbe and the Svarim of the Mittler Rebbe takes the principles that the Alter Rebbe laid down and analyzes them and spells them out at much greater length. So that's one of the reasons why the Alter Rebbe would correspond to or flow from the Sphere of Chachma, whereas the Mittler Rebbe corresponds to or flows from the Sphere of Bina. When it's Bavos, the Minna Spheres, it's well known with respect to the matter of Spheres, as Yedis Sphira is Kolol Fon Alisphiris. As we explained before, there's an idea which is discussed in Kabbalah's Harizal, but mentioned numerous times throughout Teres Chabad. You can see in the Mittler Rebbe's Teres Reish, for example, that there's, with respect to a Sphira, there is Nekuda Sphira parts of three different levels of evolution. So remember, we said before that there are 10 spheres. And so we gave us examples of some of the 10 spheres. We said that one of the spheres is called Chachma. So if you have somebody who is a very intuitive person, a person who comes up with all sorts of deep intuitive ideas, that would be a person who comes with Chachma. Obviously, it's more complex, but generally speaking, that's the idea of somebody who comes with Chachma. Well, if somebody comes from Chachma, does it mean that they are restricted, they are limited only to that Bechina, to that characteristic? So if it were the case that the ways Chachma manifested for them was in the manner of a nekuda, of a point, the point of Chachma alone, then yes, then they would only have Chachma. But we know that humans are complex, multifaceted individuals. So humans are not limited to just Chachma, even a person who's typified by Chachma, but instead they're made up of a sphera, and the sphera is all 10 spheres together, but one is most strongly emphasized. So if you say the sphere of Chachma is opposed to the Nekudah of Chachma, it means that the person contains all 10 characteristics, but Chachma is dominant and all of the other characteristics, all of the 9 other characteristics are generally expressed through the medium, through the fulcrum of Chachma. So we said that yed sphere is called from all spheres. Every sphere is comprised of the other spheres. Aber das ist doch, wie die alle spheres gehen durch der sphere dafke. But that's only in as much as the other spheres channel through that sphere. Meaning to say that you don't have the sphere alone, but the sphere is part of an integrated system of all the spheres, but that the spheres are all being channeled through the dominant sphere, through the primary sphere. So too it was with respect to the Rebbeim, the leaders of the Chabad movement, and of Chassidus in general. As durich dem inyin, in velchen yed Rebbe doire, that with respect to that idea, that spiritual principle or manner of expression that the Rebbe in question was most passionate about, late their sphere in Velecha is, according to the sphere that he manifests, that he channeled, is there Kil Oich the Ibrikinyon. He would also manifest all of the other ideas. Meaning, so for example, if you had a Rebbe, say, who focused a lot on Jewish philosophy and the integration of Jewish philosophy and Kabbalah, that did not detract from the fact that he also engaged, and here we're talking about the Tzemach Tzedek, that did not detract from the fact that he also was very much involved in matters pertaining to the Jewish community. But we see that even in his involvement in matters pertaining to the Jewish community, his integrations of Jewish philosophy and Kabbalah came to the fore because he was very involved in Jewish education, and particularly saving Jewish education from Russian assimilatory aims. And when the Tzemach Tzedek went to Moscow to face off against the Russian assimilationists and the Jewish Russian assimilationists and the Russian government, the Tzemach Tzedek was able to use his virtuosity in Jewish philosophy and Kabbalah in order to stave off the attacks of the assimilationists and of the Russian government. Der inen welches hat gekocht der Rebbe Baldi Lulis es soll sein als papel mamish uve spastus beyeser. So what then, asked the Rebbe, given that we're speaking about the Friedrich Rebbe Zerotzeit, the sixth Rebbe Zerotzeit, what then was the quality which typified the Friedrich Rebbe, what was he most passionate about, says the Rebbe, that the Friedrich Rebbe, the sixth Rebbe, was most passionate about that everything should be very practical and everything should spread out. So in earlier generations in Chabad, although it was the case that the Rebbeim would send out emissaries to different places to strengthen Judaism in those places, and they would publish Sfarim and whatnot, but the Friedrich Rebbe was very, very much of the opinion that it was very important to set up yeshivas in a lot of different places, set up chadarim in a lot of different places, and also to publish as many Jewish books as possible, that everything should become embodied, everything should be within this world, and less in the theory and the abstract. The Rebbe hat sich kein Mal nicht abgeschrocken von den Zeitens Matzev. The Friedrich Rebbe was never scared, he was never afraid, he was never turned off by the situation which another Jew was in. Tzir is a Yerushalayim, but Tachlis, whether the other person in question was the paragon of fear of heaven, the paragon of righteousness, Tzi, Mittel Masik, whether the person was more of a middle-of-the-road guy, or even somebody whom the folly of the animal soul completely covered over the truth. It's somebody who was so far away as their vase garnet as their chovatan. It's somebody who's so far away from the Yiddishkeit that they didn't even know, they weren't even aware that their behavior is not in order and they need to do tshuva. In velechem matzav yener nor given, in whatever situation a person was in, the Rebbe for numitim, the Friedrich Rebbe, the sixth Rebbe had what to do with such a person. Zeir alfketan im atoyvan gashmius was memele is das given atoyvan ichnuchnius. And the Friedrich Rebbe was not only interested in doing good for others, spiritually speaking, but he was also very interested in taking care of the physical welfare of Jewish people. As Baal Shem Tov told us, if a person engages in looking after the physical welfare of another Jew, that's equivalent to looking out for his spiritual welfare. But furthermore, the fact that it was a tzaddik, the fact that it was a Rebbe who was doing this good thing for him, that made the person feel that perhaps they should be more engaged in their Judaism. And why is that? Weil b'shas jener weiß, als man hat ihm getan hat Teufel in Gashmias, ist das all derich, wie die Gemara sagt, in der Nähe ist Panog Nebal Chöve. If a person knows that a Rebbe, that a great rabbi, did something nice for them physically, then just as the Gemara tells us that if you owe something to somebody, you're going to be less brazen in front of them, you're going to be humble in front of them. In a similar fashion, the person knows that a tzaddik did something for me, so I owe the tzaddik that I should behave in a better way, I should act with more yerushamayim, I should engage in more Torah mitzvahs. Oyser them, in addition to the fact, what the Alter Rebbe Shaim Tanya, what the Alter Rebbe tells us in Tanya chapter 32, the chapter on Avos Yisrael, Vehim lehivsid z'chai mitzvah avos veim, that if you're kind to others, you haven't lost out, you haven't missed out on the mitzvah of being kind to others, the mitzvah of being loving to others, even if the other person does not, in fact, turn to the good. Levadzeis, but in addition to this, poyot min oich as yener ket zeichin b'tshuva, that by doing kindness for others, the other person, beyond the inherent goodness of the act that you're doing, it does in fact impact the person in some way. They turn closer towards tshuva. So they're in azeiv mendarf, to be in the manner that they're meant to be according to the Torah. The tshuvas is given by the Rebbe, lightman zechap from the Ershin Manig v'Yisrael Moshe Rabbeinu. This general attitude of the three, the Rebbe, of the sixth Rebbe, of being kind to others, no matter their situation, we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu, the very first Jewish leader. Eshtet, Eila HaDvarim HaShadibir Moshe. At the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, the Torah tells us these are the words that Moshe spoke, and the Medrash tells us, and it's also pretty obvious if you look at the context of the Psukim there, that Moshe is rebuking the Jewish people. Then is the Skiven, but when was this? When did Moshe rebuke the Jewish people? So there in Dvarim Perak Aleph we learn, Acharei HaKlisa Yasichayim going there. Only after it's the case that Moshe struck, after Moshe did away with the evil, wicked kings who wanted to prevent the Jewish people from entering into Israel and who wanted to destroy the Jewish people. Only after Moshe vanquished those kings, only after you've been kind to somebody else, but only after you've extended yourself for somebody else and you show them that you genuinely care about them, is it appropriate for you to rebuke them. You can't just come to them and rebuke them without having some degree of a relationship, without having demonstrated some degree of responsibility to them. And then, on their Moshev in this Kabbalah, in Totoif, Vesdaif Leifton, when a person realizes that you care about them and they feel indebted to you, then your rebuke will actually be received. And thus say, to Espastus the Moshe Bechaldara, Moshe Shebechaldar. And this is a lesson to the spreading forth, the manifestation of Moshe in every generation. The Zohar tells us, just as there was a Moshe Rabbeinu back then, nowadays as well, there is a manifestation of Moshe Rabbeinu in every generation, and that is the leader of the generation. The Eresh Tezach, the very first thing a Jewish leader must do, is Mashbia Zayin Chesed. They need to give kindness. Bracha v'atzlacha. They need to give over blessing and help other people achieve success. Undan, only then, Musarin, can they give people rebuke. And in that order, meaning they need to start with kindness, with love, with helping out the other, and only then can they give rebuke, even if the rebuke is about something like the Egel. As we learn there in Sefer Devarim, it tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu rebukes them on Di Zahav, and Rashi explains that Di Zahav is a coded reference to the Egel. So Moshe Rabbeinu first did kindness. First, he helped the Jews. He saved the Jews from Sichon and Og. And only then did he rebuke them. So in a similar fashion to the Rebbe, that even if you're dealing with things like an Egel Azav, like a Beit Zara, you need to first demonstrate your love before you demonstrate your rebuke. People once asked the Friedrich Rebbe why it is a tam of Zainan Hagutsu Makarvs and Ali and Nafili of Alchazainen if I cared in Sug von Meilen Veloy Meriden. People often ask the Friedrich Rebbe why it is that he showed love to all Jews, even Jews who were very, very far from Judaism, and even Jews who it seemed were knowing violators of the Torah to the point that the Shulchan Aruch says, you're not meant to have mercy on these Jews. Hot the Rebbe get answered. So the Friedrich Rebbe, the sixth Rebbe, answered these people. Shulchan Aruch Zayin Faran Fir Chalak. There are four sections in Shulchan Aruch. There's a Rechaim, Yerdea, Evan Ezra, Nechoshin, Mishpat. You have these four sections. Velechir is the Letz Der Chalak. So the last of those sections is Shulchan Aruch Nechoshin, Mishpat. Didinim Vegenin Yon from Mailin Cholein Zayin Nechoshin, Mishpat. These rules with respect to those people who you're not meant to have close relationships with, those people who you're meant to distance, and those people who you're not meant to treat them even as Jews, those, says the Friedrich Rebbe, are in the last of the four sections of Shulchan Aruch, called Shulchan Aruch Cheshen Mishpat, and Cheshen Mishpat Gufe, and the last Simon. And in Cheshen Mishpat itself, they're in the very last sections. The Sefer that for learning is, Al Pienal, Al Simon of Merechem Yerdei and Avon Ezer, on Rubik Kule from Cheshen Mishpat, Beis, Deet Chasaman and Tzunsef. On down with there, Stamen Lantman, Si Mailin, Si Chasashalim, Farkeret. Friedrich Rebbe would tell them, this sounds a bit like a joke, but nonetheless, this is what the Friedrich Rebbe held by. He said, please don't ask me about why it is that I'm being kind to Jews who don't follow the Torah, why it is that I'm being kind to Jews who do the opposite of what Torah says, Jews who claim that they're atheists, that they don't believe in God, they don't keep Shabbos, they don't Yom Kippur. Said the Friedrich Rebbe, there are four sections of the Shulchan Aruch, and these laws about how you're meant to treat Jews who violate the Torah, they're at the very, very end of the four sections. So first, the Friedrich Rebbe, learn very well, learn Ayur Chaim, learn about the laws of brachis and the laws of tefillah and the laws of holidays, and there are many, many simanim there, learn them well. Then learn Yerdeya, which is the laws of shechita and the laws of kashrus, geirus, sefer Torah, milah, smachis. Then after that, go ahead and learn Evan HaEzer, learn about marriage, learn about divorce, learn about Nidarim, and then learn Chayshin Mishpat. Learn about all the various details of the Jewish court system and all the details of torts and damages. And after you finish all that, then come to me and we can discuss these dinim, which are found at the very end of Shulchan Aruch, which say that you're meant to distance those Jews who violate Halacha and those Jews who don't live as Jews. But, says the Rebbe, this does seem like a little bit of a answer that you give people to brush them off. What does this really mean? Their primus in from them. The inner meaning of the Friedrich Rebbe's teaching is as follows. B'shas mentuta yidin ateva, when you do a favor for another Jew, is kein safek niyit as mentuta mitzvah. There is no question that you're doing a mitzvah, you're doing a good deed. If you do another Jew a favor, aber. B'shas mentuta yidin nit kein gutazach, if you do something unkind to another Jew, and you argue that what you're doing is in accordance with the Torah, is Eresh Kenzayin is Minahata Tosendin. It's first of all, it's possible that you erred in judgment, and that really you're not meant to engage in this unkind thing you're doing to another Jew. Vayter Kenzayin is Minahata Slubapnia. But it's possible that even if it's correct that according to Torah law, you're not meant to treat this person nicely, it could be the reason we're not treating them nicely is not for sincere motives, but rather for insincere reasons, for some ulterior motive. On der Tzu Kenzayin is min Shmais Tehanim. And it could be that the reason why you strike another, the reason why you hit somebody else, the reason why you're unkind to somebody else, is nit vayal the Shulchan Aruch haste, not because the Shulchan Aruch, the Kod Jewish law, tells you that you should strike the other, not because the Shulchan Aruch tells you that this person is not okay, nor vayal menhata geshmak and shmeisen, but rather because you have negative energy which you need to let out. You want to hurt other people. And here, the Shulchan Aruch has given you a victim. It's giving you somebody you can hurt. You enjoy throwing stones. You enjoy being violent. You enjoy chasing people. You enjoy calling people a heretic. You enjoy witch hunting. Witch hunting does something for you. And now the Shulchan Aruch has given you an excuse to witch hunt. So in such a case, you're not really following the Shulchan Aruch. You're using the Shulchan Aruch as a tool to let out your own evil impulses. This is discussed at great length in the Tzemach Tzedek's book, Derech Mitzecha, Emitzes Lo Yisvaru Eish, The Rambam in the Sanhedrin, Perek Beis, Halacha Gimel, tells us that you need to have a judge who is a kind person. Somebody who's able to find the positive element in the other. In Afilah B'Shasar Paskin Thap Malkis, and even at the time when the judge judges that the other person needs to get whipped, when Amol Noch an ergerzach, and perhaps even a worse punishment than being whipped. Oichdan ken aralein nit meitzis en emsak din lepoyol, chacher es al pishochan arach, vrimer ken nit fartragen yin emsar, on lepoyol totas ashleach bezden. You need to have a judge who is somebody who would not be able to bear hurting another person. And although they say that this is what must be done, they're not able to bear carrying out the punishment themselves. And instead, an emissary of the Beis Din, somebody who is hired by the Beis Din to carry out the punishments, in fact, carries out the punishment. But the Rebbe notes there is one exception to this rule, that the judge can actually carry out the punishment, citing that Tzadik Gomer, Zev Shmuel HaNavi, only when you have somebody who is a complete tzaddik, completely righteous, like Shmuel the prophet, which we learn about in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, but certain nit kein egin imetzius, when kol metzius is given the kaim ratzon elyon. He didn't have any personal agenda, as his entire agenda was to channel the divine will. Hot eri alein gehargit agogin. There, this is a famous haftarah that Shmuel Hanavi goes ahead and kills Agog. He kills the king of the Edomites because Shaul HaMelech was too weak-willed. Shaul HaMelech was too cowardly to kill Agog, to kill the king of the Amalekites. So Shmuel had to go out and kill him himself. But the Rebbe is noting that this is an exceptional case. Chassidim will not gain the Rebbe's drach. Chassidim want to follow their Rebbe's paths. There are investments they need to know. As a gamin, darf sich take oisit. Von dem was steht niederkehr. Although it is in fact the case that we do need to be careful when we're dealing with those who are at a lower spiritual rank. We can't just become their best friend. We have to set up boundaries. Because we want it to be the case that Erzol nit arop shlap in chas v'shalom. We don't want them to drag us down. Am medaf nit mirach zayn. We also are not meant to distance them and chase them away. Nor im oifoibin. Rather, we need to lift them up. We need to raise them up. And do them some good deed and help them out, even physically speaking. And through that, ultimately, that will cause it to be that we'll be able to do them good, spiritually speaking. And then we'll be consistent with that which Chazal tell us in Maseches Tmura, Al Pasuk Meir Eine Shneim Havayim. That Hashem illuminates the eyes of them both. Hashem illuminates both the eyes of the pauper and the rich person. Hashem illuminates the eyes of the person who's needy and the person who helps out the needy person. As min helft my life euch in, erzol gein b'derech hayasher. That if you help out others, then you receive help from above, that you too walk on the good path. When it is mashpia b'yadr chava alzazer b'darf, and from on high, Hashem will give you everything which you need. So, im and tzuzayin b'nei bayis to you and to your family. Then is im mashpia from the mechesed shel ma'ala. This is bleak rule. You're given sustenance from the chesed of above, the kindness of above, which is limitless. When gitim leicha kli, v'ider taitch from chesedis hu yechal kalechom gevur echli kli in vas as zol nimshach v'ad yashba. And you're not just given the abstract blessing, but you're given the container in order to receive the blessing, as in the blessing will manifest in your life if you are kind to others. And that's consistent with the Pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Nun Hei, which says, Hu yechalk aleka, Hashem will sustain you. And the word yechalk aleka has the word kli in it, that there is a vehicle to receive the bracha that Hashem gives. Hashem will not only give you brachas, but He'll allow you to receive the brachas and live the brachas out. So what did we learn in the Sicha? Yud Shvat is the Hilulah. It's the yahrzeit of the sixth Lubavitch Rebbe, the Friedrich Rebbe of Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson. And the following year, a year later, in 1951, in Tafshin Yud Aleph, it's the year at which the Rebbe assumed the leadership of the Chabad movement. But the Rebbe viewed himself as a continuation of the Friedrich Rebbe and somebody who just continued the work that the Friedrich Rebbe started instead of a totally new entity. So the Rebbe in the Sicha from Tafshin Yud Aleph in 1954 explores what typified the Friedrich Rebbe. When we celebrate somebody's yahrzeit, on the one hand, we want to appreciate their life, and then we also want to understand their mission so we can continue carrying their mission out. So what was the Friedrich Rebbe's mission? What typified the Friedrich Rebbe? So here, the Rebbe focuses on one midah of the Friedrich Rebbe, and he says, although it's the case that Rebbeim in general excelled in many different areas. And we know, for example, if you look at the Hasidus of the Friedrich Rebbe, the Friedrich Rebbe said very, very deep, complex, philosophical maimorim, and the Friedrich Rebbe was also a tremendous oivid. He engaged in very serious davening. So the Friedrich Rebbe was a great spiritual giant, both in terms of his davening and in terms of his learning and his teaching. But, says the Rebbe, nonetheless, there's generally speaking one thing which most strongly typifies any given leader. So by the Friedrich Rebbe, says the Rebbe, what that was that the Friedrich Rebbe wanted to share Judaism with as many people as possible. And in particular, the Friedrich Rebbe was very kind and very loving, even to people who did not keep Torah and mitzvahs. People who ate pork, people who ate nevelis, who ate things that were not shechted, people who didn't keep Shabbos, people who ate on Yom Kippur, people who were married to non-Jews, people who went on the street without a yarmulke, basically people who violated every single aver in the book. And the Friedrich Rebbe was very kind to people, and very often he didn't only tell them, oh, be an Orthodox Jew, be frum, stop eating Yom Kippur, but he would do nice things for them. He would make sure they had a place to sleep, he'd make sure they had parnasa, he'd make sure they had food. So the Rebbe says there are many people who were frum Jews, and they were very upset by the Friedrich Rebbe for doing this. And they wanted to understand, how is it that you can be kind, how is it you can be loving to people who the Torah says are not okay? Number one, says the Rebbe, the very fact that you do a kindness to another person, that you do a physical kindness to another person, you gave this person a place to sleep, you hooked them up with a job, you gave them some food to eat, you made sure that they were in a good situation, all those physical kindnesses that you're doing for them make it such that they now feel a sense of obligation towards this kind, loving rabbi. This kind, loving rabbi was so nice to me, he did all these good things for me, so maybe I should do something which will make him proud, and perhaps engage my Jewish identity more, engage my Jewish heritage more, engage in more Torah mitzvahs. So that's one. But two, says the Rebbe, many people ask the Friedrich Rebbe, how could it be that you're being nice to people who eat food in Yom Kippur? How could it be that you're being nice to people who say they don't believe in God? So the Friedrich Rebbe told them a sharp line. He said, the din in Shulchan Aruch, which says that you're not meant to be kind to people who violate the Torah, that's written in the fourth section of Shulchan Aruch, and it's at the very end of that section in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, there are four books. There's Or Chaim, which talks about the laws of getting up in the morning, the way in which you're supposed to do Ntil Sedayim, the way in which you're supposed to say Asher Yotzar. Then it talks at great length about the halachas of davening, the halachas of brachas, and then after that, all the halachas of the various holidays, and it's a very long and involved book. And then after that, you have Shulchan Aruch Yedea, which talks about the laws of Shechita, of Kashrus, of Mikvois, of Yayinesech, of Gentile wine, of idolatry, of Geirus, Sefer Torah, Tfilin, Hilchas Machis. It's a very long and complicated book. And then after that, you have Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezra, which talks about the laws of marriage and the laws of divorce and relationships in general. And then you have Choshen Mishpat, which talks about the Jewish legal system, how it is that you're meant to have a court, how it is that the various parties argue before the court, how we relate to damages. So you have four very, very long, complex books. At the end of those four books, there's something that's said about how you're meant to treat those who don't keep the Torah. So the Friedrich Rebbe says, first, study those four books in depth. Study Shulchan Aruch in great depth. And in a few years, after you've dealt with all of the complexity of Shulchan Aruch, then come back to me and we can discuss this question, which appears at the very end of Shulchan Aruch, as to how it is that you're allowed to treat nicely those who do not follow the Torah. So this seems like a sharp answer. So what was the Friedrich Rebbe saying on a deeper level? The Rebbe explains that a successful Jewish leader, a good Jewish leader, must be a person of kindness. We learn in the beginning of Sefer HaDvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Eila HaDvarim Asher Dibra Moshe Be'eva HaYarden. These are the words Moshe told the Jewish people on the other side of the Jordan. And what was he telling them? So Rashi tells us that Moshe was rebuking the Jewish people. But the psukim continue. When did Moshe make this address? When did Moshe rebuke the Jewish people? Acharei hakoisi asichin melech hamari asher yeshe b'cheshbein v'es'oig melech habash asher yeshe b'ashtarias b'edrei. After it was that Moshe Rabbeinu vanquished Sichin and Oig, these two Amorite kings who challenged Jewish people, only then did Moshe Rabbeinu rebuke the Jewish people about Di Zahav, about their idolatry. So the Rebbe says, we see from the Torah that a Jewish leader needs to focus first on doing kindness for other Jews, and only then can he focus on rebuking them. And second, says the Rebbe, when a person does kindness for another Jew, they can be certain they're doing a mitzvah. However, if you're unkind to another Jew, it's not clear that you're doing a mitzvah, because there are two possibilities. I mean, one possibility is that you're not correctly applying the rule. You made an error in judgment, and you think this person should be treated unkindly, when in fact, you were wrong, they should be treated kindly. But let's say, says the Rebbe, it's really the case that this person does deserve to be punished. Who says you're punishing them out of a sincere desire to really help them out? It could be that you have violent tendencies. You have some neurosis, you have some psychological issue which you need to work out, and you find that throwing rocks at people on Shabbos is good for you, or you find that chasing people and being a witch hunter and calling them heretics provides a psychological release. And that's certainly not an appropriate thing. So says the Rebbe, we should be careful and best to err on the side of caution and be kind to other Jews and not be unkind to them and distance them. So that's the lesson of the Friedrich Rebbe. That's one of those things that typifies the Friedrich Rebbe. That the Friedrich Rebbe was kind and loving to all Jews, no matter who they were. Didn't matter whether they had a big beard and payas, and didn't matter whether they ate Yom Kippur. The Friedrich Rebbe was kind to everyone. And we, as followers of the Friedrich Rebbe, says the Rebbe, we too should emulate the Friedrich Rebbe's ways. Now here's an important caveat. If we say that you're meant to be kind to Jews who eat Yom Kippur and do all the various in the book, it doesn't mean that there shouldn't be a certain degree of boundary. There shouldn't be an awareness that you have your identity, your Torah-following identity, and that you're not going to blur the boundaries between you and them. But on the other hand, you should still be very kind and still be very loving, with the hope of ultimately uplifting those people and bring them to fulfill their mission in the world as a Jew, which will likely entail not eating Yom Kippur and keeping Shabbos and engaging the Torah. And this does not mean that you are necessarily better than them because you keep the Torah. You have your mission, they have theirs. But you know that the Torah told them not to eat Yom Kippur, so of course you want to inspire them to follow that path. And then in response to those who say, well, maybe being kind to other Jews, particularly those who do not keep the Torah and those who are less educated than myself, will not be good for me. Maybe it will distract me in my spiritual mission. So the Rebbe quotes the Gemara in Tamura, which says, Meir Einei Shneim Havaya, quoting a pasuk in Mishlei, that Hashem illuminates the eyes of both the person who gives and the person who receives. That really, by giving to others, ultimately, that inspires Hashem to give to you. So even if you come to giving from a self-serving perspective, realize that ultimately, the best way to serve yourself is to give to others.